Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome to the program, Today's Issues, everybody, on American Family Radio. Thank you for listening to AFR. By everybody, I mean we have listeners across the country internationally on the internet to American Family Radio. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Chris Woodward.
Hello. Good morning.
Filling in for Fred Jackson. What's Fred doing today?
He's doing well. I saw him in the office. He had some things to do, so he went to the bullpen or pulled me off the bench. I don't know what sports analogy to use, but I'm here to serve.
Pulled you off the bench or went to the bullpen, or you're the bullpen pitcher.
There you go.
He's the starting pitcher, but you come in out of the bullpen.
Yep. Steve will close.
Are you the middle relief guy?
I am.
Or are you the closer?
I'm the guy that comes in the sixth inning, and you know the fans hope and pray I don't blow it.
Okay.
Which was the case for my team much of 2019. I'm not bitter.
Okay. You're not bitter, you're better.
That's right.
All right, Steve Jordahl will be with us next hour. I don't know what Steve's role is there. Maybe he's the closer.
But a
lot to talk about on the program today. We got Mike Gottfried, former college football coach and ESPN analyst and a Christian leader, will be joining us coming up in a few minutes. And so we're going to talk to Mike. He's going to be in studio with us. Abraham Hamilton III will be with us at 10:30, and then Stephen Strang, Ed?
Yes, Stephen Strang is author of a book, God, Trump, and the 2020 Election. For those who have heard the name Stephen Strang before, he is the founder and CEO of Charisma Media. Folks are familiar maybe perhaps with Charisma Magazine and their website. That's Stephen Strang. He's a wonderful writer, and this is an excellent book. So we're going to be talking about God, Trump, and the 2020 election. Stephen Strang wrote the best-selling book, God and Donald Trump. That was, I think, in 2016.
Yeah. So we'll talk to Stephen Strang at 10:45. So a full show with some, if you don't like hearing us talk, we got other people that are coming on that we're going to interview. Maybe you'll like to hear them talk. So that's coming up on the program. That internet, as you call it, Ed, how can folks keep up with us?
Well, if you want to watch us, you can go to Facebook or YouTube and search for Today's Issues and then click through.
If you search it, will you find him?
If you search, you will find, if you've got a good search engine.
Okay,
now,
right.
I forgot Walker yesterday. We had Walker on yesterday. I forgot to mention, folks, that we have an app for your phone or other portable device. You can go to the App Store or wherever you go for Android phones. I'm not sure what you call that. But anyway, the AFR app is available, and you can listen even when you are not within range of a terrestrial radio station. Or if you're at home and you want to go to AFR.net on your computer, we stream this show, the audio stream, live. So several ways that you can connect with us, as they say, as the young people say.
Connect.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, what do you got?
Well, thanks for connecting with me.
Yes.
Well, something we're going to hear a lot about today and carrying over into tomorrow. Impeachment hearings continue today in the House Intelligence Committee. Among the big witnesses today is U.S. Ambassador to the European Union, a guy named Gordon Sondland, who has been a close friend or associate of President Trump prior to the presidency. But one of the things people are paying close attention to with Mr. Sondland is what, if anything, he knew about this so-called quid pro quo for Ukraine investigation. We have a little bit of Sondland's testimony here, clip 7.
I know that members of this committee frequently frame these complicated issues in the form of a simple question. Was there a quid pro quo? As I testified previously, with regard to the requested White House call and the White House meeting, the answer is yes.
Now, his testimony has changed a little over the past few weeks. Initially, he said there wasn't really anything there. Then it became there is something there based on his talking with people and remembering this when he didn't really remember that. Republicans are pointing to this as more reason why you can't believe this witness compared to that witness and things like that. Certainly, Congressman Jim Jordan, a temporary member of the House Intelligence Committee, has been really hammering these witnesses, saying that Americans really see what's going on here. This is all about President Trump. They don't like him. They want him out of office. Things of that nature. And, oh, by the way, expect to hear a lot about this tonight, because 10 of the 18 remaining candidates for the Democratic Party's presidential nomination are going to be having a debate tonight on television in the state of Georgia. And this is the first gathering of the candidates for debate since these impeachment hearings began.
Now, I will say this, that if it was not for this testimony from Gordon Sondland, would have been far more damaging to the president if it had not been for the fact that his testimony has changed somewhat. Because he is, the Drudge Report has, he's dropping a bomb on these things. He is saying we were following orders from the president. It was a quid pro quo. It was a this for that. That's what the phrase means. You give us the investigation into my potential 2020 presidential opponent, or else we don't give you the money. That would have been extremely damaging to the president, except for the fact that Sondland has apparently changed his testimony.
One of the things that I've seen, too, since yesterday's hearings began is really your impression or understanding of this depends on where you get your news from, and that carries over for every situation, right? But yesterday, CNN was of the opinion that the testimony from this Volcker guy was really damaging to the president. But Fox News this morning seemed to think that what Volcker had to say and the questions that were asked and the answers and things like that really blew apart what it is the Democrats are looking for here. So I don't know that we'll ever really get to the bottom of what exactly went on, if anything, based on reading into this and frame, because oftentimes what happens is when you hear a news story, you hear snippets of that conversation. You don't hear the whole exchange for various reasons. So, you know, stay up to speed on this, continue to follow, and really read a whole variety of things.
I think, Tim, what you have said all along is the truth, and that is that it doesn't really matter what these folks are saying, the so-called witnesses. The Democrats intended to impeach the president all along. They were just looking to find something that they could put their hat on.
Right.
And the American people aren't going to hear the real story until this goes to the Senate for a trial, when Republicans are able to actually do the proper job of questioning these witnesses, bringing witnesses of their own. That's the only way you're going to hear the other side. The president is not going to get a fair shake before the House, because it is filled with, it is in under the control of Democrats who all along have wanted to impeach this president.
Right. Yeah. Well, and bear in mind, too, we've talked about this on the show with Abe and certainly on just our three-man discussions. Even if the House votes to impeach the president, that doesn't mean he gets removed from office. It still has to go to the Senate, as you mentioned there, and who knows what, if anything, is going to happen between now and that time period, which is probably going to be in January of next year.
Okay. Are y'all through?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a news junkie myself. But this impeachment story is just boring me to tears. I'll be honest with you.
At least I didn't say impeachment inquiry.
Even when we're talking about it, that wasn't, engaging?
I was with you there for a couple minutes, and my mind started to wander.
We're going
to
go for pizza later today, and me and Ed are
Now you're talking. Now I'm interested.
There you go.
Huh?
But it's the pizza you're interested in, not the discussion.
Let's hit the road. Brent will drive.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, by comparison, the great drama over the years that I've watched out of Washington, like Ollie North and his attorney telling the Democrat leader, "I'm not a potted plant." Remember that moment? And then
the whole country watched that.
I know. And now we got this.
Yeah, and now you got basically people going, "Yeah, I think they ought to blah, 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 blah," but I really haven't been following it.
Yeah, I know. It is. It's not gripping, because it's a bunch of what's the expression? It's a nothing burger.
Yeah,
it's really a nothing burger, as they say. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Abe Hamilton will be along later on, as will Stephen Strang. author of God, Trump, and the 2020 Election. So you want to stay with us for those interviews. Right now in studio with us, and we're always delighted when we can have one of our guests in studio, Mike Gottfried. Mike is a former college football coach. He was an ESPN broadcaster for many years. That's many of you are familiar with Mike's name from that ESPN career. And then Mike also works for Team Focus. He founded a ministry called Team Focus to help young boys who don't have fathers. And they're a national ministry. They're based out of Mobile, Alabama. Good morning, Mike.
Tim, good morning. It's great to be here.
Thank you, brother. You did devotion for our staff this morning. Everybody thoroughly...
It was fantastic.
Yeah, we were ministered.
I heard several people say, Mike, I could have listened to him all day.
Right.
Your stories were engaging, was biblically focused, and you are just a funny guy as well. So you put all those three into an omelet.
We got to get him to tell the interception, the interception story in a few minutes. But now you're originally from Ohio, right?
Crestline, Ohio.
And we have stations all over the Buckeye State. And so what town did you say?
Crestline, Ohio.
That's where you grew up?
Mansfield.
And Mickey, your wife, you grew
She's
up together there?
Yeah. Yes.
And then you played college ball and then went into the coaching profession.
I played high school football, basketball, baseball, and then concentrated on football and went to college at Morehead State.
Yeah, Morehead. Morehead, is that that's in Kentucky, right?
Yes.
Yeah, in Kentucky. Now, when you got out of college, I'm leading up to what we're going to talk about with Team Focus and everything, but I'm just curious, you left why did you go into the coaching profession?
Yeah. Probably two reasons. My dad always wanted to be a coach, and he died when I was 11 years old of a heart attack. And then there was a man in our community, Merle Hudson. He was the coach, but he taught everything, how to swim, baseball, football, basketball, and how to drive a car. So he was busy in every area. But there was something about that man and everybody in our town. We have had so many coaches come from our town, they wanted to be like him. And I'll never forget him. I was coaching my first job at high school, and somebody said, "Hey, coach," and I didn't respond. And he said, Coach, I'm over here." And I thought to myself, Coach, the only coach I know is Coach Hudson. So I right. didn't even feel worthy enough to be that handle, coach.
Yeah. And for how many, you had a career in college football for how long?
Probably 20 years. I can't remember exactly.
All of it, happy days, pretty much.
No, there was some losses. And, you know, I meant to say this today. Yeah. One thing I learned in coaching, I wouldn't celebrate the wins. If we beat Penn State, we beat whoever, we beat Ohio State, I was always worried about the next game, and so I would take my attention to the next game. So I didn't celebrate, and so I said, I'll celebrate someday. Well, now it's too late. But here's the thing. We need to celebrate every day. Celebrate
Amen.
A parking spot at Walmart if it opens up. Celebrate your birthday, your wedding anniversary, all those things.
And when did you give your life to Christ along the way?
I was young, 9 years old. I was in a Catholic school, and so I gave my life right then.
9 years old. Do you remember
I don't remember the date, but I know there's been times after where people would sit down with me and talk to me, and so I remember those dates.
All right, move through the years here, and you're out of coaching after four stops at Division I schools. That's just your head coaching career.
Right.
That doesn't include your years as an assistant as an assistant coach. But then you got into the broadcasting field.
Right.
With ESPN. How did that story come about?
Oh, that's interesting. I got a call a week after I was fired at Pittsburgh, and ESPN wanted to hire me. And so they gave me five games, I think, the first year. And I worked the first game with Sean McDonough, a Hall of Fame
broadcaster.
Announcer. Yeah. Yeah, he's a great guy. So we had the Hawaii, Texas A&M game in Hawaii. And so nobody taught me anything. They kind of threw me in there. And you have an earpiece in your ear. So I'm waiting to talk. I'm standing up, ready to go. Hawaii kicks off to A&M. The play-by-play guy gave Dave all the talk about the kickoff. So they ran the first play, A&M, and so I'm ready to speak. And he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you the starting offensive lineup for A&M." I knew one thing, Tim, not to speak when he was speaking. So they ran the play, and then I was getting ready to comment on the play, and he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, let me give you the Y starting lineup." So I was still not speaking. So the third play, a running back named Robert Wilson, he was built like a Coke machine. He ran for 18 yards. In my earpiece, the guy, the producer, said, "Okay, coach, tell the American people why that play worked." I said, "Okay." And he said, and I heard all kind of shuffling. He said, "You can't say okay. You just said okay to 60 million people." I said, "All right." And he said, "Quit talking to me." I said, "Okay." So my first three words was okay, all right, okay. And then I fooled him for 19 years.
Oh, you went 19 years the Saturday night game, right, on ESPN?
Saturday night and Thursday night.
Thursday night. You did both of them. And Ron Franklin was your colleague for most of those years, right?
Ron Franklin was outstanding and just had a great voice.
I think he's right down the road here.
Yeah, he loves Ole Miss. And now that's not bad.
That's okay. No, I understand. I'm Mississippi State grad, but it's okay.
No, he likes all the Mississippi school. Yeah. But here's the reason he was good. He had a passion for college football.
Yeah. Right. I remember Mike Gottfried and Ron Franklin for 19 years, and maybe you had another play-by-play guy, but he did that and you did the color. I never will forget one game I was watching with you guys. I was watching you guys in the you were at Auburn,
right?
And a fire had started right outside.
Yeah.
The
my daughter was with me, Mindy, and she kept pointing, and I'm thinking to myself, I see smoke, but so it was a library caught on fire during the game, but
on campus?
Nobody was worried about the library.
They just wanted to know that Auburn was going to win.
Right.
We'll worry about the library later.
It's college football Saturday. Who cares about the library? Nobody's there anyway.
Oh, man. Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Now, you started what's called Team Focus.
Right.
First of all, before we get into this, tell folks where they can go and read about this ministry on the internet.
TeamFocusUSA.org.
TeamFocusUSA.org. When did you start Team Focus, and what was the purpose?
2001. Mickey had a word from the Lord that my wife and that we were supposed to begin this. And when she mentioned that to me, I wasn't really thrilled about that at the start, because I said, "Mickey, I've been coaching for all these years, and I've had all these boys and I've coached. I want to spend some time with my own kids." I was kind of selfish and out there. But she asked me again 2 weeks later, so we began it. And it's a year-round program for boys without a father between the ages of 8, at that time was 8 and 18, and some amazing stories where you teach what a father would teach if he was home. And a father could have passed away, could be in prison, could have just left. but we teach them manners. We teach them how to be a good teammate at home, how to be dressed, how to talk, how to get a job, job interviews, everything a dad would teach.
And what year did that, do you remember?
2001 or two, right in there.
Now, but the idea is you begin to do camps.
Yes. It's a year-round program, so we have connections with them all year. But the big thing is the summer camps and winter camps. We have mini camps in the winter. So we just had one in Mobile with teaching strategy. We were playing checkers. And I said, there's got to be a strategy in checkers. So, and learn the strategy in checkers, and then learn a strategy in every situation you're going to face. So we're teaching them constantly. So I was a pretty good checker player, I thought, but Brian Hines, he's probably about 11 years old. He beat me twice, so I'm not as good as I thought it was.
How many young boys have come through the camps?
Probably 5,000 in 19 years, and we have camps all over the country. And we just opened a new camp in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and we're going to open another one in Lexington.
You mean this coming summer?
Coming summer.
So if people want to read about where the camps are and who qualifies,
yes,
and everything like that, they can go to teamfocususa.org. And then your I guess your flagship camp is your Mobile camp every
year. Yes, but we have a camp in Ohio, we have a camp in Mobile, we have a camp in Austin, Texas, and Kentucky. We have three different camps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I just ask you just just one of the things that during I love the devotion, it was fantastic. Just to briefly, because we just got 60 seconds. What did you mean when you said a lot of people say about their day, you win some, you lose some, and you said, let's change that to you win some. What did you change it to?
Let me stop this right here, because there's a story behind this.
Okay.
That's the story related to his bad day on the gridiron.
We don't have time for that?
No, we do when we get back from the break.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, I'm going to save that till we get back from the break. Because you can't get that story in 60 seconds. But it's related to what he said about good days and learning.
Yes, you win some,
learn some. Yeah,
you win some and you learn some.
I think Yogi Berra said what? You win some, you lose some, and some are rained out. I think that's what Yogi.
that sounds like a Yogi Berra-ism.
All right, we're going to take our break and be back. We're going to let Mike share that story that he shared in our devotion this morning, which is, it's a great, great point to it, and it's also very funny. It wasn't funny at the time.
No.
but looking back now, it is one of those stories. So we shall return momentarily with more of today's issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
And Bert, when you've been to the Holy Land, are you ever struck on how this is the most important small bit of land in world history?
It is.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we set our dates for the 2020 Spiritual Heritage Tours, and so we wanted to make that information available to you. You can go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com, But we do the trips to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, Virginia. That's one tour. And then we go to Washington, D.C., and Mount Vernon. That's the second tour. We do these back-to-back during 1 week, so people traveling from around the country who want to do both, you know, they can do everything in 1 week. So those are coming up in June and September of 2020. They fill up several months in advance. Historian Stephen McDowell will join us all along the way. It's going to be a wonderful time. For all the information, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with News and Commentary next. There is a general sense of sadness surrounding Chick-fil-A. Since 2012, conservatives and Christians rallied around the fast food chain, defending Chick-fil-A in the face of an intolerant mob of LGBT bullies. In recent years, they came under fire for supporting charities like Salvation Army and the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, two ministries deemed hate groups by the homosexual community. Consider where we are in American culture. If your religious beliefs conflict with the LGBT lifestyle, you are labeled a hate group. Instead of fighting the good fight, Chick-fil-A surrendered, announcing they will no longer fund either ministry. At least one of the new organizations getting Chick-fil-A cash is openly gay-affirming. After years of defending Chick-fil-A, many conservatives and Christians feel betrayed, deeply wounded. It's not about a chicken sandwich. It never really was. Be sure to visit ToddStarnes.com to download my free podcast. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
This is hockey. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim with Ed and Chris Woodward, and our guest in studio is Mike Gottfried. Mike served at ESPN. Well, he didn't serve. He got paid at ESPN. That's before the big bucks hit. But Mike was ESPN for 19 years as a color analyst for their college football game of the week, or college football games of the week, yeah. Thursday and Saturday. And Mike's in studio with us today. More importantly, he's a dedicated Christian who cares deeply about young men who don't have dads in their homes. And because Mike didn't, he lost his dad when he was 11 years old to a heart attack. So grew up with three brothers, is that right?
Two brothers,
so three of them. Without a dad, and they were younger than you, right?
Yeah, and I think back on my mom because she was only 38 years old at the time, didn't work, and she had to get a job. So I think about single moms a lot, that they're really strong.
Well, amen, brother. So he founded Team Focus, which is a camps that he conducts. He and his group conduct around the country. For those boys. So to find out more information about the camps, who qualifies and all that, go to teamfocususa.org. Okay, so in staff devotion this morning, you were sharing a story. Ed, you want to go back to that?
Yeah, we want to hear the story, because the lesson is what's stuck with me, because the story is fantastic. But people say you win some, you lose some, and you change that. You win some, you learn some.
Right.
Or some days you win, sometimes you lose. Some days you win, sometimes you learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you tell us the story about
there
that.
There was a man named Tom Arrington. I went to see him, and he was talking about some days you win, some days you lose. He said that really is not true. He said it should be some days you win and some days you learn. And it really struck me. It was a great comment, and so I went back to thinking about, have you ever had a bad day? And I've had a lot of bad days. But this particular day in 1965, we were playing at Western Kentucky. They were pretty good. I was the captain and the quarterback, and we only had two seniors on our team that year. But we got down early 3-0 because I threw 4 interceptions in the first half. And nobody would come around me, so I went in the locker room at halftime, peeled myself an orange, and tried to lift myself up a little bit and talking to myself and answering myself. So I thought, hey, something's got to change. So I went back out in the second half, convinced we were going to do well. I threw a 5th and a 6th real quick. And we're still, our defense is playing well, and we're still only behind 3-0. And after the 6th, when I came off the sideline, nobody around me went on the knee, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, I'm having the worst day of my life. And so I saw the coach coming down, who I loved, Earl Bentley. And he came down, he put his hand on my shoulder, and I looked around, and I thought this, I would never say this. And I said, Coach, you need to take me out. I haven't done a good job in the first half or early in the second half. Seemed like a long time till he spoke, and he looked at me, and he said, Mike, if we had anybody else, you'd have been out a long time ago. So that wasn't the confidence I was looking at. Now I'm close to the record, the 7th record. So I went in, back in after the confidence builder and threw a 7th interception. So I went in the record book. But late in the game, with 2 minutes to go, we had the ball in our own 5, and I threw a little swing past Tommy Gray from Birmingham, Alabama, and he ran 95 yards, and we won the game 7-3. Some days you win, some days you learn. Fast forward 23 years, I think it was 1988, we're playing West Virginia. I'm the head coach of Pittsburgh. We're playing them down at Morgantown, and we had a bad first half. And we're behind 38-0, I believe the score was. And so what do you tell a team? I said, loosen up, let's go out and try to get back in this thing, knowing full well they'll try to drill us if they can because they're rivals. And our quarterback in the first half, Alex Van Pelt, threw 2 or 3 interceptions. And he was returning to West Virginia where he grew up. And so he's having a bad game. So he throws quick one in the second half. So the coach in my headset said, Mike, get him out. He doesn't have it today. So I said, no, I'm going to talk to him. So I brought him over. I said, Alex, you think I should take you out? He said, Coach, please take me out. I'm stinking the place up. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. And he said, you're not? And I said, no. And I said, do you want to know why? And he said, yes, I'd like to know because we need to win this game, put somebody else in. I said, no, back in 1965, I had a bad day, and I threw 7 interceptions, and I'm in the record book today for interception leader. And I said, I think you got a chance to take me out of the record book, so I'm going to leave you in. So got hot, and we tied the game at the end. And 6 seconds to go, Eddie Frazier kicked a field goal, and we tied him. Some days you win, some days you learn.
And you learned how to also give your quarterback a shot of confidence. Yeah. Just like you had been given a shot of confidence back in the day.
Right. I love that story.
Oh, man. That's great. Team focus. USA.org, and you can find out all about Mike's the camps that he's going to hold around the country. And we have a lot of listeners in Ohio. So is it Cincinnati or Columbus, or where is it?
And it's in Columbus, and we do our camp at Ashland University in Ashland, Ohio. And I know there's close to that.
A lot of listeners in Ohio, and especially around the Columbus area. So check that out, and then the Mobile camp coming up and others. So check that out. Mike, God bless you, brother. I know you pray for us and you support us.
I appreciate what you're doing. I said today what I meant. I mean, I listen to your shows, and they're an upbeat and an encouragement to people all over this country. So you're doing great work.
Thank you, Brother Mike. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mike Gottfried, Gottfried, has been our guest the last 20 minutes.
I got to say, yeah, go ahead. I'm just going to have to disagree with Mike here just a little bit, and that is he said we're upbeat and we encourage people. We do our best to bring people down. We do our level best to discourage people about what's happening in the culture.
Ed, your effervescent personality just overcomes any effort we might have to depress people, I think.
Well, thank you.
I want to thank Mike Gottfried. You're listening to Today's Issues. Hey, in just a few minutes, Stephen Strang, author of God, Trump, and the 2020 Election, will be with us. But first of all, every Wednesday that we can, we have Abe in to talk to us about something legal, usually in the news, Abe,
or something illegal sometimes. You know
exactly, and what his role is.
Yes,
in either one of those. Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst and general counsel for AFA, and host of the Hamilton Corner, heard each afternoon here at 5 to 6 o'clock here on American Family Radio. Abe, yesterday we talked about Chick-fil-A's situation, their announcement. What do you make of what Chick-fil-A has done here?
Well, I'm deeply disappointed by it, and I know there are some that are saying that Chick-fil-A didn't cave, and I think in order to take that position, you have to ignore what Chick-fil-A has done. Most people are familiar with the fact that in 2012, this is where this really began. Chick-fil-A was being hounded by the stormtroopers, as it refers to them, which began their discussion in national media because Governor Huckabee then said, you know, in response to that, let's go out, especially Christians, to support Chick-fil-A because their founder made the statement affirming the biblical definition
of
marriage. The
founder's son,
I'm sorry, Dan Cassie, mm-hmm. not Truitt. So that began the public attention on Chick-fil-A. Following from 2012 to 2019, Chick-fil-A has skyrocketed in terms of fast food restaurants in the country, largely with the support of the Christian community in America. That is the primary source of support for Chick-fil-A. Well, the stormtroopers didn't relent.
You're talking about the LGBTQ stormtroopers.
Yes, here, I'm sorry.
And that's what Ed calls them because they're unreasonable people who just pounce on,
and they're unrelenting. They don't ever stop. Right.
And this shook Dan Cathy up in 2012. You could tell
it did.
It shook him up as it does a lot of people. Go ahead.
It did, and most recently, Chick-fil-A was in the news again for refusing to sever its financial ties to specifically the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and the Salvation Army. I'm not saying anything about those organizations, but those were two entities that the LGBTQ political agenda activists highlighted as an example of Chick-fil-A's status as hateful bigots. So now Chick-fil-A announces, oh, by the way, we are restructuring our philanthropy away from these organizations and toward other organizations. How else are we to interpret that other than Chick-fil-A capitulating and saying that the accusations that these organizations are hateful and bigoted based on their adherence to scripture, particularly on marriage and sexuality, that is an affirmation that they are hateful and bigoted. And so Chick-fil-A is restructuring their giving away from those organizations. The only way you can take that is that it is a societal affirmation that the intimidation, the manipulation, and the maligning of these organizations as hateful and bigoted is being affirmed by Chick-fil-A.
And we should point out that the new organizations that Chick-fil-A is giving to,
that's
including Covenant, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No.
And it's not only about their disavowal, their separation from those organizations, but they're replacing them with giving to companies and organizations like Covenant House that is affirms LGBTQ orthodoxy. I mean, that's like, right. I'm going to take money from Tim and give it to Ed.
And they
I'm saying I don't want to be connected to Tim anymore, and I'm favoring Ed.
Yes. And on their website, Covenant House has testimonies of homosexual young men who were hurt by attempts to get them to reconsider their lifestyle.
And that's the new group that Chick-fil-A said we're funding instead of the Salvation Army, or instead of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Yes.
Exactly.
By the way, I might add, we have a petition to Chick-fil-A, which reads like this, and you can go to AFA.net and sign the petition, AFA.net. To Chick-fil-A, I am extremely disappointed to know that Chick-fil-A has chosen to abandon great ministries like the Salvation Army, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and the Paul Anderson Youth Home in Georgia. By doing so, it looks like you are abandoning Christian values and agreeing with homosexual activists who say believing the Bible makes you a hater, which is what Abe just talked about. Please clarify that you still hold to biblical teachings regarding human sexuality, marriage, and family, and reinstate these Christian ministries. So, a lot of people will, if you want to call it a boycott, are not going to go back to Chick-fil-A, at least anytime soon, because they're disappointed in these actions that we've talked about the last few minutes. We haven't explicitly called for that ourselves.
Yeah.
That's up to each individual, each individual family. Because there's a lot of things to celebrate about Chick-fil-A.
Right. Yeah.
All right? I mean, what a story.
Yeah, no doubt about
Truett
it.
Cathy, is his story there. So, so if you want to just, you know, make your voice known to Chick-fil-A, as we said yesterday, please be nice about it. And the franchise owners, they do have a say. I won't say that they don't have influence, but this was a decision made by Chick-fil-A corporate in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I was really disappointed to see that Dan Cathy
hadn't said it.
He's the chief. He's the chairman of the board.
Yeah,
so he would have signed off on this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You could tell. So hopefully Chick-fil-A, what they need to do really, I think this would satisfy everybody. If Chick-fil-A would simply come out and say, listen, we have in the past supported the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and the Salvation Army and the Paul Anderson Youth Home in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And those are wonderful, worthy organizations that that we are not disavowing in any way, shape, or form. We just want to make that clear. We're going in a different direction with how we process and do our giving, and it may or may not include these organizations, these ministries in the future. But if we don't fund them, it should not be interpreted as we disagree with their doctrine.
Right.
Yeah, because
or their mission statement. Short of doing what I just said, which is very easy to do.
Right.
It is.
If you believe it.
No, Chick-fil-A could release it. They could end all this.
Yes.
Today, if Chick-fil-A would just release a statement saying it is being interpreted by many in the Christian community as we are disavowing the Salvation Army, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and we want to make it clear we are not. Mm-hmm. We supported their mission before this. And
they're not hate groups.
And they're not hate groups. If Chick-fil-A would just say that today with about a three-sentence press release, this would all go away pretty quick, I think. Why are you smirking over
well,
there?
I'm smirking because you have organizations like GLAAD that comes out and says,
who is GLAAD? Gay and Lesbian
Alliance Against Defamation.
Alliance Against Defamation. It's come out to say, well, we're fine, Chick-fil-A. Well, if you really are, you mean what you're doing, then you'll come out and affirm same-sex marriage.
That's what GLAAD is demanding.
Let me tell you where this is headed. And I hopefully, and then we'll get to Stephen Strang. Hopefully it does not come to this. Okay. Hopefully, but what you have to prove—it's never enough for the gay and lesbian activist organizations. And as I said yesterday, not all gay people subscribe to the activist actions.
That's true.
Of these harassers,
right.
Okay?
Right.
This mob mentality. A lot of gay and lesbian people don't participate in that.
That's right.
Don't agree with that action. Tammy Bruce on Fox
right.
News. Herself an open lesbian, but she calls them the gay Gestapo.
Yes.
So I want to mention that. However, they're never satisfied. What the only way they would be satisfied is if Chick-fil-A gave money to the Human Rights Campaign or to GLAAD or to some activist gay and lesbian group. Then maybe the shakedown would be complete. and they might get off their back. But short of that, I'll end with this. How many sermons have you heard with that?
A lot.
I'll end with this. Then the pastor turns into a liar, which I've is one of the Ten Commandments. You know what I'm saying? And that is, you cannot surrender on biblical morality. You know what I'm saying? You just cannot. And that's what's happening in our culture, either by doing things like what Beth Moore did, that is take a criticism of homosexuality out of one of her books. She edited it post-publication of a book. Or we go completely silent on the issue, which is happening in a great extent in the evangelical churches in particular. You ask a pastor, for example, where do you stand on this? And they will say, well, I stand with the Bible. You know, homosexuality for 2,000 years has been taught to be a sin, right? An immoral action. But that same pastor will say, we don't talk about it.
Yes.
Right.
Right? So you go silent. And I'm not saying it's when the fight's brought to you that you have to stand up. The fight was brought to Chick-fil-A and they didn't stand up. In fact, they went the other way. Okay. So hopefully they'll reverse course. We'll see what happens. But these gay and lesbian activist groups are relentless. They hound you. They go to your Facebook page. They harass people that are associated with you to the point where you do what Chick-fil-A did. Please just get off our back.
Right.
Huh? That's what's going on. All right, Abe, thank you.
Thank you.
Go to AFA.net, folks, and sign our petition. You know, the percentage ahead of gays and lesbian people in America is what, 2%? 2 or 3%?
2 or 3%.
That's both sides agree to that number, pretty much, would you say?
Let's put it this way. That's what most of the studies
okay,
have
two,
shown.
Okay, 2 to 3%. Okay, I would say probably 30% of Americans are Christians.
Right.
I'm just going to throw
actual Christians.
Actual Christians. I'm going to say 25 to 30% of Americans are Christians. So our numbers are far, far greater.
Right.
All right? Imagine if 10% of our group acted like these LGBT activists.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just went around and just found targets and just, no pun intended with that one.
Right.
And just, just went after them relentlessly and harassed people, called them haters and everything like that. But we can't act like that. Because we're forbidden to,
right,
by Scripture. So we have to fight. We have to. They call us. They slander us by calling us haters, and we can't fight back.
Yeah, you put it one hand behind the back.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Chris, your contributions today.
This broadcasting class is really paying
I'll
off.
Always remember what you. Go ahead and introduce our guest here.
Well, we want to welcome one of the best writers that I read on a regular basis, Stephen Strang. He is the founder and CEO of Charisma Media. If you've heard of Charisma Magazine, you've probably read some of Stephen's kind of editorials. Fine writer. He's also the best-selling author of God and Donald Trump. His new book is out. We want to talk to him for a few minutes at least about God, Trump, and the 2020 election, why he must win, and what's at stake for Christians if he loses. Stephen, welcome to Today's Issues.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, Stephen, let's get right to it. Why must Donald Trump win, and what happens if he doesn't?
Well, you've been talking about it. There's a lot going on in the culture, and Donald Trump surprised us all by really being our champion and standing against a lot of this weirdness that's going on. In fact, my book is as much about God and the culture, what God's plan is for America. And at this point in time, I believe that he raised up Donald Trump. When he ran, a lot of us didn't know, what he would be like because he'd been a liberal and then a conservative. He'd never served in office. But, I mean, he's really surprised us by keeping his promises. And, if the other side wins, they will have power, and they will start enacting hate laws to say that, you know, what we believe is hate. They will undo all the good stuff that Donald Trump has done. You know, he's stood strong for Israel. He's been very, very pro-life. He's put the right kind of judges in. And I document all this, but I also document what's going on in the culture, like you were talking about with Chick-fil-A. And usually what happens is when the left, whether it's the gay and lesbian activists or not, but just the left, when they attack a conservative, the conservative will do penance by moving slightly to the left with the hope that they will leave them alone. I mean, this has been going on for years. And finally, Donald Trump stands up to these people. I mean, it's nice to have somebody who stands up to these bullies, and they just pound him every single day. And of course, now we're seeing it with the impeachment hearings, which are an absolute joke. You know, it's almost like he got a speeding ticket, and they're saying that because he broke a law, he's not qualified to be president. I mean, they're just grasping at any straw at all. And my book is my attempt to try to wake up the Christian people, because Christians tend to be kind of passive. And, you know, we don't always get out to vote. I talked to a Christian broadcaster yesterday that doesn't even want to talk about my book because, well, it's political. And he thinks you just should talk about Christian stuff. And he doesn't seem to care this because it fits into his eschatology. And, you know, what's going to happen in the end of time is up to God. But right now we need to occupy until he comes. We need to stand up for truth and righteousness. And this is what I try to do in this book, and I try to make an argument to even persuade people to kind of wake them up and to try to motivate them to go to the polls, because Donald Trump won very narrowly in 2016. It was actually, and I document this in the book, and I even have a whole chapter on why he might lose, which boils down to if our side stays home, he'll lose. But he won by only 80,000 votes spread over three states that no one thought he would win: Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And so that's razor thin. I think, or at least I should say, I hope that all this nonsense will actually backfire on the other side, but only time will tell. So I'm coming out with a book in January. That's 10 months before the election, and I'm hoping that it wakes up people.
So let me just ask you, we just got, this is going to be kind of down and dirty, Stephen. You got 60 seconds to answer this question that I am frequently asked. Is there hope for America? You mentioned eschatology. Some people have written us off. Is there hope for America?
Absolutely, there's hope. You know, I've read the end of the Bible, and we win. But we don't know what's going to happen. Previous generations thought, in fact, the early church thought they were in the end times. And God is powerful. He has a plan for America that is not discussed very often. Even a lot of Christians are very, very silent on these things. But I think that things are getting so bad that Christians are starting to wake up. And I hope my book, God, Trump, and the 2020 Election, helps open some people's eyes.
Our guest has been Stephen Strang, who is founder and CEO of Charisma Media. And he was voted by Time Magazine as one of the 25 most influential evangelicals in America. He has written a new book. He had a best-selling book titled God and Donald Trump. His new book is coming out in January, God, Trump, and the 2020 Election. Stephen, thank you so much for what you do and for this book and for being on with us today.
Thank you for the privilege.
All right, Chris, again.
I do what I can.
You over-prepared for the show today.
I brought in a big sack in case somebody couldn't make it or whatever.
You did the right thing.
I was prepared.
Yeah. But our thanks to Chris Woodward. Ed and I shall return momentarily with Steve Jordahl. After the news, we'll be back with more of today's issues. We've got another half an hour here. Come back and join us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.